This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. Program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. Can't believe it. You drive in every day. It's like a movie going on. right before your eyes. The sky is changing, beautiful colors. But anyway, as you're usual, looking over the poly, and you just can't believe it. Wish you were here looking with me, but I'll describe it and we'll talk. Listen, over the last week I had the chance to go to Kauai, and some interesting things, both doing some checking and what have you, and during there visiting the salt ponds and going up in the backcountry and looking at some of the native birds and Mount Waialeale, and boy, one of the wettest places on the planet. And I can attest to that definitely. Even had lightning, so I don't know if that was a message. Some of you would probably say, but I got the message, and I left a hill at the top, and it just wasn't comfortable, but beautiful place. And so anyway, while over there, I had a chance to meet some folks over there regarding, and they shared a story with me and some concerns that for years they've been trying to get some redress or fixings at the Kikialoa small boat harbor there in Kekaha. And so we traveled then, looked around, and I actually have them. They're calling in this morning, and I don't know who I have on the line right now, but we'll see shortly. Marvin Hasipene and Wayne Kobashigawa, I met with them, and a couple others may call in. But imagine, I'll set the theme for you. Imagine a state-run operation, and the operation states sign there that says, use at your own risk. Now, this is what our government leaves us with. A boat harbor that they attract you to, charge you, and then leave it in disrepair or unkept and with some dangers in place, and they exempt themselves in their minds to by posting a sign saying use at own risk. Good morning. How are you?
All right. I'm fine.
All righty. Who do I have here? Is it Wayne or Marvin?
This is Wayne.
All righty, Wayne. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little background, and we'll get to chatting on this. And this is under the purview of Department of Land and Natural Resources, Boating and Harbors, correct?
Correct.
What is going on? Share with our listeners what is really aching your belly there.
Well, not commercial, but I'm a recreation fisherman that uses the harbors on the weekends, and we have some issues at the harbor, which nobody seems to know what's happening or what's the fix up.
Mm-hmm. So, I let's start with just the basic entrance of the harbor from the main highway. Which highway is that running in that's fronting the harbor?
I believe that's Highway 50.
Okay, and so you folks expressed, and I saw what was happening there. There's no turnouts or anything, so it creates a hazard of sort, does it?
Yeah, when you go out, especially when you're pulling your boat going out of the harbor because of a lot of traffic coming in and out, it's becoming a hazard, I think.
Mm-hmm. And so you're having to turn left or turn right to go out, and you're trailing a boat, and you have oncoming traffic on the highway. So with the increase of activities there with the commercial boats and the Nepali coast and all of that, have there been any accidents of sorts coming into there?
Yeah, there's been a few, just minor ones. No, mm-hmm. Nothing critical so far, just minor ones.
Underscoring so far, huh?
Yeah.
So as when we make that left or that right to go into the entrance there, I noticed the road. And by the way, you can go to carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and you can see firsthand some of the pictures and the condition of the roadway and some of the other things we'll be talking about. But on average, just in a general sense, how many commercial boats do you see coming in there per day, on average, a weekend? If just basic, we don't have to be scientific.
I would think on the weekends at least 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And on the weekdays, I'm not really sure. I'm a working man, so I'm not really sure about that. I would think about a 10 or so.
Mm-hmm. And then clearly, looking at the parking lot with the number of tourists coming to take the boat ride around to the Nepali coast,
that also increases traffic, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So the potholes, is there any experience, anyone complaining, you had pointed out, regarding the trailering the boats, and one gentleman, for example, has had a boat to break on him because of the potholes?
Yeah, the trailer went in a pothole, and then it bent the trailer, so and then I also had a problem with my truck.
Mm-hmm.
A tie rod ends broke off.
Yeah, so being that it's state land, have you folks filed a tort or tried to file a claim with the state to recover for damages?
I did. I filed a claim, but I came back saying that my truck was too old and they won't cover the damages. And this other boater, it's in progress now.
Mm-hmm. So if a guy drove a Model T in, souped up, and that a collector's item, and just driving through there, they would, and the road busted up his stuff, they'd probably tell him, your car is too old. Not worried about the fact is that these roads, I drove over them, and it's like driving over a washboard. For those of you that are of our age, you know how rough it is, or going over a railroad track. And it causes the trailers to twist and what have you, or little stress on them. But we move on down inside there, and I noticed that you showed me the bathrooms, for example, that I think there's one stall for men and women, just one flushing toilet, no urinals or nothing. With this increased activity and commercial activity, is that sufficient?
To me, no. I mean, you got to wait in line to use the bathroom, especially when the tours go in and out, so you got to wait in line. And
so, and how long have you folks been in that community been inquiring about just fixing the roads, for example, the potholes? How couple of years, you say?
Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what's the result or the response? Just what?
So far, zero, nothing.
Mm-hmm. And who have you spoken to within that system?
I believe we spoke to DLNR.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Joe, I guess.
Uh-huh. We're
supposed to be getting some coal mix to fix the road, but I don't know what happened with that deal.
Oh, they were going to bring in coal plane and fix it, huh?
No, we were going to fix it as a community.
Oh, so the government was going to give you folks permission to do it, but they wouldn't do it, and...
Yeah, lack of funds, I guess.
Or lack of interest. but also, hey, what about this sign there that says use at own risk? That's the first sign that greets you pretty much when you, other than the sign that says Kiki Aloha Aola, small boat harbor, the next sign you see is use at your own risk. What's with that?
I have no idea. I mean, I've been wondering what is this sign all about, too. I mean,
I saw that and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's two things. Let's say if the state hear this in this conversation, the first thing they're going to say, well, we didn't put the sign up there. Well, then the first thing I would say, well, why the heck don't you take it down? And why don't you prosecute or take action as to those that leave it up there? Or the third thing I would say, how negligent you are to let a sign like that be posted and not take it down and not follow up to see who it is. So either way, they're wrong, in my opinion, you know.
but I don't know who put the sign up to tell you.
Now, you know, we move on over there, and there's that little pavilion there, that little covered area where it has electrical. The bulbs are hanging, the light fixtures are hanging, the sockets are rusted. And you folks said what it was about at least a week that it was in use by some of the homeless people there, you know, and the light was being used for at least a week.
Yes, it was working for a while. Mm-hmm. They used to charge the batteries over there, so mm-hmm. It was working.
And then here I see I got pictures of the wires just laying exposed and naked. Kids could walk around. Was that in that condition when the lights were actually, well, I don't know if they were actually still working.
No, they were working. Yeah.
And the wires were exposed like that? Yeah. Well, obviously they were, because they wouldn't have rusted that fast overnight. So
yeah,
that, clearly some of the pictures will show that. But I noticed the condition of the bathrooms with one stall, and then we look and on the ramp, the actual ramp going down when you're backing down, there's huge potholes. What? How long has it been that way?
It's been a couple years now, but it's just getting worse. It's not getting any better, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just getting worse, but, you know, nothing's been done about it.
And then I noticed that in order to, in any of the harbors, launching a boat, trailing a boat, you need to have your boat registered and as well as have a sticker, right, for use?
Right.
So that suggests that they are charging you and using the money for, let's assume, upkeep of the harbor?
I hope they're doing that, but it's a pretty hefty fee that you pay. I mean,
yeah, and so what's your opinion? You think you think they can do, well, I won't say can they do better. Or you think they're going to do anything, or is it going to require the community or someone getting injured or some accident before they do something?
Hmm? I hate to see that happen, but I would love to see something done with our money that we're paying to use mm-hmm. it rent fee and all that stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I hope they do something.
Yeah. How about the community? Have they met or discussed this in community meetings, or has it gone any further than that? Or
David, I'm not sure, but we've been having boaters meeting, but you know how we just talk among ourselves. I don't mm-hmm. know if they've been brought up higher.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Probably in that small community, the what happens is that there's always a concern that retaliation or something, and DLNR is not above that. I mean, we got some of them out killing themselves and others going to jail, and so I would suggest, yeah, you be careful how you ask for your rights from that DLNR boat. Just no telling. You be careful over there, man. I'm just being facetious, but in reality, for a government agency, the DLNR DOBAR should be ashamed of themselves. And you know that ramp, that wood ramp when you walk out that's extending in the water? I got some pictures of that where the wood is rotted.
Yeah, it's rotted and it's all loose now.
Yeah, and they're putting, so at a minimum, can you imagine, for the listeners out there, imagine there's federal law that says ADA, Americans with Disability Act. Just that, to comply, they're taking federal monies, and besides, forget the federal monies. They should accommodate the people with disabilities anyway. That's just because they enjoy the outdoors and should be afforded an opportunity. But some of those areas, they have rusted pipes and rusted fixtures and faucets that with jagged edges or what do you call it, hose clamps sticking out. If you walk by, it's like a razor sharp edge.
Yeah.
How did they arrive at leaving it that way? How long has it been? Obviously, it's been rusted a while.
Yeah, it's been like that for quite a while. I don't know exactly when it was, but it's been mm-hmm. all those, you know, pilings and all this rebar sticking out, and it's been a while. I mean, and the community, nobody complains, that's why they mm-hmm. talk among themselves, that's all.
And you know, going back up there at the entrance to the harbor, these some of them, I guess, have worn down, but the rebar sticking out of the pavement, what's with that?
I believe that was from when they paved the road, they put this form on the side of the road, I guess, to hold a pavement on.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently the 2x6 got rotted out and the rebar is still sticking up.
Ah, okay.
So you know what happens when you drive over that, right?
Oh, yeah, going to rip your tire on the side or puncture it. Maybe you guys should start buying those flat-proof tires.
Yeah, just solid rubber tires.
Yeah, because, you know, you. But anyway, imagine the cost, and it's a state-run facility and state-owned. And then I noticed that the Army Corps of Engineers Obviously, with the groins and the breakwater, break walls that are out there. But they did some recent construction or modifying that those walls. What's the impact? Have you seen a noticeable impact, a difference?
Well, I don't know if I've seen the impact, but I noticed the sand running away now. So I'm not sure if it's a problem, but mm-hmm. they removed this small little finger on the front of the harbor, and they're claiming that is a problem. The sand is running away on the west side.
So the sand, is that causing the launching area to be shallow now, or is it, has it any impact on that?
Yeah, it's getting shallower. So all the dredging they did for none.
So in a couple more months at this pace, the sand will pile in and fill in the ramp. They'll have to spend hundreds of thousands dredging it out again?
Yes, I believe.
Wow.
Yes.
So I noticed there was several boats there. I counted seven or eight commercial trailers there with tour boats and what have you. And are they complaining, or they're just trying to get the money and run?
They're not complaining. They're not worried about that. Yeah.
Until it pops up in their face. And
yeah, they get big money to back themselves up, so they're not worried about that. Yeah.
How about the ground swell? You know, especially come winter swells or the high swell season. Is that going to have an impact? Are you guys noticing that now?
Oh, yes, definitely. When there's a big ground swell, either a big south or a big north swell, it's almost impossible to get out of the harbor.
Wow.
So there's almost a dredge, a channel going out and all that stuff, but that never got done.
So it's a gamble, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
At your own risk.
Yeah, use at your own risk. And I'm puzzled. I've never, ever seen, but I have to pinch myself and remind myself I am in Hawaii. And this is what government does. We pay them as if we're living in New York. They tax us just as if we're living in New York. They give us rules just as we're living in New York. But then when it comes to owning up to the responsibility and delivering to us, they treat us like we're in a third world.
Yes.
You know, it's like, who would tax the citizens, charge them a boating fee, or sell them a sticker, and then invite them to a harbor to launch their, some of these boats are quite expensive, or even if they weren't expensive, their life, and then turn around and post, use at your own risk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so that means they built it so anybody come in on drugs or drinking and acting unruly in a boat or unsafe, posing a risk to others, it's your fault for going out there.
Yes, you should turn around and go home or something.
Yeah, and if you're a child, for example, there's some pictures that we took of some of the pylons they use to serve as boundaries. I don't know what they're protecting. With the rebar that's sticking out of them, very sharp, look like the tip of a spear.
Yeah.
And you know how children always playing and running, and imagine getting impaled on one of those.
Yeah.
But reality, folks, this is what the Department of Land and Natural Resources, this is what they're about. Big bucks, they're always talking about they need more money, more money, more money. And then when you ask them, what do? That you have to pitch them and sell them and beg them to do the basic things. And then when they don't, they throw up to discourage you. How are you responsible?
Yes.
Using at your own risk. But anyway, are you guys going to have a meeting or anything about this? Because I'm going to write a letter to Mr. Isla and ask him on behalf of the that community. And for my interest for the show, why is it in this condition? And what about this use at your own risk?
Fine.
I know that some have said you can't sue the government, but let's say if that's true, then at least the government should be responsible because they're taking your money. I don't know the legal, what the Supreme Court would rule. I thought you could, but in some recent rulings, but nonetheless, what happens, there's many lawsuits that come toward the DLNR, And I think what usually happens is they settled the lawsuits.
Okay.
Yeah, but so I don't know if our friend Marvin's going to call in, but we'll see. Anything else there? And
no, that's good. I'm good. I got everything off my chest.
Well, are you going to go boating soon, or are you going to wait until they fix it?
No, I'm keep going. Today is a good day.
Yeah. So how is the weather there today?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And you're not going fishing?
I'm going right after this.
Okay, well, wow, you took the time. Okay, well, we appreciate that. But anyway, I thank you for taking the time and before you go out there and hook a big one. But hopefully something, we'll see what happened. We'll bring it to their attention. Well, let me back up. They already know, clearly. It's their responsibility to know. And hopefully nobody get hurt in between them going out there and responding to it. But the Army Corps of Engineers, maybe they need to be also asked the question of to reassess, and maybe if someone get injured or drowned or killed or boat destroyed due to the swells. Because if they were thrown into the rocks, it's going to be a problem, huh?
Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, I hope you luck on getting some relief from the your truck if they fix it or charge you or pay you for it.
Okay.
All righty, Wayne. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will
thank
see you soon.
Okay.
Okay. Aloha.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Aloha.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Just wanted to take a brief pause there and still focusing on the Hawaiian activities over there on Kauai. The reason I say Hawaiian activities, you know, a while back we had Robin Danner on the show and who called in and she's with the CNHA and HCDC and AHA, Anahola Hawaiian Homesteads. And I'm going to reach out to her later on. But and over there, there's some issues with, again, Hawaiian home lands. This thing is, you may have seen the story with, what we've talked about it on the show here. The concerns of discrimination that some of the constituents or beneficiaries, I'd like to call them beneficiary, anything can be a constituent, but where the act itself is designed, the Hawaiian Homes Act, is designed and set up as a compensation or it's a feeble attempt to address some of the injuries inflicted on the people of the native people, but we'll do with what we got right now, but it needs to be overhauled, this Department of Hawaiian Homeland, and I would say There's an article in today's paper about an editorial about these things that we've talked about for the last year and a half. But one of the biggest problems that is the native people are faced with, they can go in with complaint after complaint, no matter how valid these complaints are. They tend, once they establish and document that these activities are going on, you still go back to the same people that did the injury, committed the act. There's Linda Chen, who is judge, jury, and prosecutor, who in turn, if I go to her, for example, and I disclose to her that I found a house, and this is real facts, in Haleahi, where you find a house that has been torn down downtown Honolulu and taken and dumped in the canyon on Hawaiian homelands, and you do the research, you first start off and you struggle to get the documents, and you don't get any documents, and then you finally get something in hand, and you find out the very person who were denying that they had any knowledge of this had given authority to a trucking company to use the land as a landfill, and that person being Linda Chen. So unless the governor steps in and give a true and honest, make an honest attempt, make a declaration that he and install people that are going to be active, not pencil pushers, not doorkeepers, not bouncers like Puni Aloha Chi, not Daryl Young, who wouldn't know his butt from a hole in the ground. And the reality is, and I've talked about them, and I know it's not kind to say these things, but at some point, you have to call it what it is. A collection of crows is called a murder of crows. We have no problem. A collection of geese is a gaggle of geese. You know the game. So when you have ignorant people with bad intentions only to serve and to reach out to get a paycheck, what you have is disrespect for the system, disrespect for the government, disrespect for fairness, and that's what you have here. This Department of Hawaiian Homelands, I've read many stories and talk about the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and we know how nasty and mean-spirited they have been over the years. We know that. But what's not showing up on the radar is the sad state of affairs that goes on within the Hawaiian homelands. You know, I've mentioned to you Norman Sakamoto. I've talked to you about Clayton Hee. You know, it's one thing to have an opinion that these people, and I could be off base and it's unfounded, to say bad things about people. But these are... I have the facts, and I submit this about this entire government, not just this administration. Linda Lingle was just as evil. Her actions were just as deliberate, and her actions defrauded the people as well. Ben Cayetano, his actions were just equal. It did nothing. So a series of people that have come along, one after the other, and have done nothing but defrauded the people of Hawaii, the native people, when it comes to, and they're defrauding us too. I mean, I don't want to just put it all, they are fraudulent in their behavior, in their practices. But this Hawaiian homes issue, it's really not an issue. It's about the humanity. It's about the inhumane behavior, the audacity of individuals like the John Wahees, and go on back, all of them. They've let this place rot and special interests. And today, we've talked about Pasha, but at Kauai, for example, I'm going to reach out, and if Robin Dana hears this and Michelle Calhani, we need some answers. I know that she was on the show and she talked, and subsequent to that, I could never reach. I've attempted to call her in the past to have comment about certain things, but she got in the groove with the Star Advertiser's reporter, Rob Perez, and so I guess she found sanctuary there. But I have some questions, and we're going to ask these questions later on, but I'll share with you some of the beneficiaries. These issues are live, and they're out there. And so this is what they wrote, and this comes from the governor's office or his liaison. So I'm thinking that when Robin Dana opposed Neil Abercrombie's appointment of Joby Musagetani, Abercrombie's staff found it necessary to go back and dig up the dirt, so to speak, or collect certain aspects that would demean or dethrone Danner. And whether it's right or wrong, the reason I raise that is that, and I share this with you, see, Abercrombie is, he has his fingers on the pulse. He knows. He's listening and he's watching. But he, like the same-sex marriage thing, he BS the people and put him through, and then all of a sudden he rise up and he's the savior of the day. He holds a special. He wants his little man's attention. But it's okay. We'll give him that. But so this particular document that I'm going to reference here, and this defines DHHL Anahola issues. And Anahola is an area over on Kauai that is set up for some parts of for Hawaiian homes. And the quote, "The community is racked with several issues that have split the community. All these issues are those projects or involvements created by Robin Dana. CNHA through HCDC, the quasi-corporation created on the AHA, Anahola Hawaiian Homesteads Association. Every project that was sold, quote, sold to the community is failing and negatively impacting the community." Now, this document, as I say, was generated by, I'm informed, by the governor's liaison. So, if that's true, well, how is it that the governor can, I've sat on the show and talked quite a bit and reached out, and but they close the doors and they won't deliver documents, and they hire Puni Aloha Chi and Daryl Young to block the door and hold the gates and defraud the public. But while if you, I guess, I won't use the term if you cross them. And what I'm seeing is some of this is legitimate questioning of Danner, but how it came about. So one of the claims is that hires only her family to run the projects, and I'm going to reach out. Now, I'm reading this. It may be premature, but this is what was shared with me. And we will seek to have her talk and address some of these. There's a KIUC solar project negatively impacting the agricultural and ranching community. Huge controversy. Beneficiaries do not feel that the benefits them. The energy produced from this site will not go directly back to the Anahola beneficiaries. The power produced will feed 2,500 homes in Kapa'a to Princeville project being driven by the HCDC. So if that's true, then and the governor's liaison is picking this thing apart and compiling this document, then why don't the governor step in? Why leave it hanging? You see? So the sincerity and the insensitivity on the part of the governor, who serves only to use his people in a capacity to maim and shoo away, so to speak, anyone that would cross him or speak negatively of him. So I would hate to think what he has planned for my little butt.
Who knows? I don't know which tree he'd like to hang me from or what he'd like to do. But I'm sure looking at this, he's probably right now going, well, find out what kind of food he feeds his dog. You know, something. We got to get something on him, right? Well, anytime you want to do an invitation or interview, come. We'll share everything. But the power produced will feed 2,500 homes in Kapaa to Princeville. So if they know this, then why did Linda Chen authorize this? Or if they did know this, why don't the governor set up an entity rather than hiring Puni Aloha Chi? They've done so well before without a public relations person and a deputy who does nothing but run around and go, I don't know. We can't do that, because if we do that, if we show any favoritism, or if we even look as though we have some sensitivity to Hawaiians, then what's going to happen? We're going to trigger Rice versus Cayetano, and we don't want to go there. What a lame, low-class approach to life, as sophisticated as life is. This is what the governor hires. This is what the governor employs. And he's very cognizant of what's going on. Though he may be short in stature, he's tall and he oversees everything. Because he knows how badly broken it is. And he knows it's under his watch, and he knows he has a need. If he wants to stay in office and be voted in again, he needs to suppress much more. And so there's this thing, you heard Robin talk about the Albizia, the green energy biomass project on this show, and she in her testimony saying that it was killed or canceled or someone was trying to sabotage it. Green energy biomass project negatively impacting the agriculture and ranching community, using Albizia trees for energy through wood chipping and burning. Project being driven by HCDC. No Albizia trees were sighted on the middle portion of the lands in question. Only upper mountainous lands held Albizia. However, those lands held approximately 150 plus heads of cow on these acres. They must be talking about the Stuart Hanchett acreage that the former commissioner who was able to get 300 acres of land and build may not be the same piece of property. But again, I found it to be quite interesting that the governor's liaison would be able to compile this while overlooking, while raising these issues, but still they should be acting on all of it. Should be immediately sending the attorney general's agents in, seizing that property that Hanchett had taken and improperly used contrary to the lease and the RP revocable permit. So what happens, I'm sharing this document at this point to share with you an insight on what the governor, Neil Abercrombie, to what great depths he will stoop to get you, and quietly, and so then you turn around and give this document out as if it's to make things right, when in fact it's to drive a stake in Robin Danner's heart, because she spoke out against him and objected to Joby Musagatani, but you know his hands are clean. You don't see him there at the scene. So another one is the Anahola Marketplace. Big failure to the marketplace cannot attract tourism or locals. Negative economic impact on the community. Tenants, except for one, is Hawaiian or from Thailand or Taiwan. Now, this is the governor's liaison mentioning this now, compiling this, I'm told. That being the case, why isn't the governor's liaison on this island, and why isn't the governor raising these issues at Pasha and many others? As you saw, Noel Alana Kalakanui at KGMB did a story about discrimination, which we talked about earlier a couple of months and as for recent as last week. Again, I enjoy having this, and I thought, okay, the document, we'll discuss it later too, but this is, I'm trying to share with you, give you an insight. This is how your government works. It can work if it wants to do you in or screw you.
The government is efficient at that. But when it comes to acting on your behalf just because they're in place, that's what they do. They tax you. That's the right thing to do. They're sensitive to people. They want to make the community healthier. But that escapes them. So none of these guys is above the dirty pool, so to speak. None of them. So there's another Anahola Cafe and Certified Kitchen Project. Always empty, no activity, nothing being produced out of the kitchen. They're claiming in here that she hired her family to run. Robin Danners hired her family. Negative economic impact on the community. Was not originally built according to code, but has since been corrected. Now that's funny. On this island, Caetano Abercrombie's staff and his administration, for example, because supposedly, quote, George Grace did not have his up to code and was violating the stockpiling and grading permit, they end up serving a search warrant on him and tried to impale him on the stakes. So it's one thing the governor can't claim he didn't know or he don't have the capacity. Apparently, he has the capacity when you cross him or object to what he say or go in and object publicly, challenge his appointments of Joby Masagatani of the Hawaiian Homelands. Oh, he'll send his goons out and start documenting you. So that was the sixth one is Kumu Camp, Tentalo. Rentals are sitting idle and empty, vandalized 4 to 5 times. Tremendous controversy, this document claims. Marketing efforts failed. Eyesore and negative economic impact on the community. Market was for youth camps, but nothing has emerged. Now, this is the governor's liaison writing this document now about Robin Danner. But throughout the state, the governor's administration is failing, and you have similar situations that plagues the entire Hawaiian community as it relates to the Hawaiian homelands. But he was able to document this, so he has a capacity. He has at his disposal the attorney general. He has at his disposal the sheriff. He has at his disposal a staff that could immediately act on these things and revoke permits and revoke the right of entries. But instead, if you cross him, he activate his goon squad. But he doesn't stop and remind himself or pinch himself and say, well, what are big businesses getting, the non-Hawaiians getting? They seem to be running away with the shop now. They got deals. Pasha get to rent to people, road and highway builders, the closed construction, and on and on and on. Violation after violation after violation. Malama Solomon, you don't see the governor go over and write up a document, send his liaison to go and investigate Malama Solomon. So I'm sharing this with you so you can see the real Neil, the real deal Neil. And I would suspect he probably has a short list on me and anybody that probably talked to me. But, you know, bring it on. We'll deal with it as it comes. But in the interim, we'll try and expose him for what he really is, I'm chasing things that in any other state, when there would be a reaction on from the top down, or we're going to be accountable, we're going to hold others accountable. But in this state, it's as though he's really not interested other than padding the pockets of his friends in big business at the expense of the people of the state of Hawaii as well as the native Hawaiians. Now, I know some of you, I was reminding myself, looking at the video that I did when Masagatani's appointment occurred, And the people that came in and who I always thought was level-headed, you know, open-minded. But I didn't realize what I could, when, you know, some people use the term sheeple. Well, I didn't know the real meaning of it till I saw some of the faces when they came in and testified in support of Masakatani. And I thought, maybe it wasn't just all about, it confirms, it wasn't just all about some outsider coming to steal from the native people. Maybe it was also what contributed to this, an element was that some of the native people had gotten a piece of the pie and felt obligated in order to keep theirs as a condition and get special favors or get their kids in Kamehameha schools or whatever it is, or get a lease or get a job or whatever it is. It's their job, then their role, to go back and fight the others and suppress. You know, they talk about the Hawaiians fight like crabs in a bucket. Well, let's go back and let's talk about who put the crabs in the bucket. That's what I always like to think about. Who is responsible for putting the crabs in the bucket? And I'll tell you who they are. They're the Neil Abercrombies. They're the Danny Noyes. That's who. So you blame and you project the negative aspect on the people, suggesting that they have no intellect, no intelligence, no sensitivity to one another. But it's always that it burdens the native people with having to inject this stupid idea of explanation. Well, you know, it's like crabs in a bucket. That's what Hawaiians are. And I say, stand back. And let's ask this question: who put the crabs in the bucket? And if we get to that, if we're able to openly discuss that, then I think we have a solution here. But until we define and identify the entity that put the bucket there, first of all, and then put the crabs in the bucket, then we can begin to unravel this thing called suppression, the genocidal behavior, the unethical behavior toward the native people. Then we got something. Good morning, call. You have a comment or question?
I got a comment.
Yes.
This is Marvin calling from Kauai.
Yeah, Marvin. How are you?
Oh, how you doing? Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, what are we going to, in about 2 minutes, but you can call back later. Go ahead right quick, and then we're going to shut down this hour, and you call back, okay?
Okay.
But go ahead.
Anyway, I was just wondering about the issue on the west side of Kauai, you know, the boat harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Where the tourists, they use that place, you know, 75 to 100 people a day. You only got two stalls there. Some, what do you call them, one for a female, one for a male.
Right.
And the road is so beat up. I mean, how much money the state generates out of that place, and they cannot even, you know, fix all that, mm-hmm. all that facility.
Right.
Yeah. So I was wondering, you know.
Yeah, well, we talked about that earlier. Why don't you do this? Call back, and we'll talk some more about it. We have to shut down this hour and go to a break, but you want to call back?
Yeah, how long are you going to be break on?
About 10 minutes.
Okay.
All righty, Rob. All righty, Marvin. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
bye.
That's Marvin Hasapeni from Kauai. Anyway, we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show. This is Carol at carolcox.com. And we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Just get on board. All you need is faith. I need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready. Coast to coast, faith is the key. There's hope for all among those loved the most. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need the diesel's humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the
K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, I'd like to send my regards and warm feelings toward the Volks family out there for Celeste and my friend. Next week we're going to, I'm trying to put something together on foreclosure. And because I've been speaking after the show a week ago, a number of people called up and wanted to hear more about it. So feel free if you find yourself with a subject that you want to be enlightened or think that should be discussed more, give me a call and pull my coattail. Anyway, what we're going to do is expecting a call from Marvin Hasipene, but I'll be posting later on some pictures on the salt pond. I was over there at the Hanapepi salt pond and was quite impressed with what goes on there in the making of salt, and I'm sure you folks have been there before, and some of you have. But interesting, if nothing else, make for good photography. But I was talking about a document that was presented, compiled by the governor's liaison, Governor Neil Abercrombie's liaison, in response to its intent is, I guess. One, well, I'll say the benefits. If these things are factual, and I'm going to reach out and ask Robin Danner to give her an opportunity to speak to these specific statements that was presented in this document, and But on this occasion, it's to share with you how quick and dirty the governor can do if you cross him. But anyway, he would probably describe it as just normal business and I'm overreacting, but I guess that's what it is. But they create these climates of underhandedness and all of that, and then when it comes to the native people, the native Hawaiians complaining or attempting to complain, they go out and try to impact them negatively, or you won't get your number, or you won't get your time waiting in line, or you'll never get your lease or what have you. So imagine if we could rid ourselves of that and then have a bona fide, genuine, honest effort on the part of the United States government. But the culprit in this whole process is the Department of the Interior. And also, the people that add insult to injury is the Mazie Hiranos, the Colleen Hanabusa, the Schatz, and the Gabbards, Tulsi Gabbard. Because, you see, an act of Congress is an act of Congress, and you can't diddle-daddle with that. But if you're out to screw the people and get your name and be amongst your party leaders, I guess it comes easy, and you wouldn't want to stoop so low and deal with native issues, because that might taint your image as being easy, not being humanistic, but just being too easy and giving in to the, quote, natives. So everybody has their share of blame here. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I got a comment.
Yes, sir.
I guess I was talking to you earlier, but about the on the Kauai, the west side boat harbor.
Uh-huh.
The road is so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the big picture from the whole thing, is that, I mean, the state is collecting so much taxes from all its tourists. On average day, I would think there's between 75 and 200 people of tourists use that place.
Right.
And they don't put nothing back into the facility, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that. They even actually put a sign there. Can't pay at your own risk. I wish I could run a business and take care of that, all the liabilities off you.
Hey, it's precedent, man. You know, when the government can do it, you should be able to do it. So if someone falls on you at your ice cream parlor and slip on a slippery ice cream drop that spilled, and hey, you read the sign, use at your own risk.
Oh, that is a Western mentality or something else? The land of opportunity? I mean,
yeah.
So I just was wondering. And, I mean, for how much people use that place? There's only two stalls, one female, one male stall.
Mm-hmm. And don't have to go, man. I sit there and it was just painful thinking when you're bringing boatloads of people.
Yeah, I mean, if you figure the math, it seems like 1 plus 1 equals 11, right?
Right.
Figure the math. It's not 2, it's 11.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, I mean, and a lot of the electricals out there, I mean, put a liability for the people getting shocked, and then on top of that, the taxpayers like you and me will be paying the medical bills and whatever the lawsuits come arise from that.
Yeah, all they have to do is go replace the outlet, replace the socket, replace the bulb. But instead, that would cost maybe $200. But someone get electrocuted or shocked or whatever, injured, it'll cost us about $2
million. Yes, exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, if you figure out the math, then that'll be safe than sorry, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But I just can't believe in a bold red sign, use at your own risk on government property.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that. I thought, first of all, this is maybe it was some of the local people users there just being facetious or, you know, sarcastic, you know, because they're just sick and tired of being delayed and no reaction, no response.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe it was just their way of, placing emphasis on a slow, sluggish government. But I, because the government should have come along and saw that and said, what the heck? Let's take that down, right?
Right. You know, just, oh, man. Even on that highway, I couldn't believe they did all the deceleration lanes all the way from Kamakani. They did from Pakala.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they reached to that boat level, because of the bridge, I guess they had an optical course. But we look at right down the road, they got a subdivision,
mm-hmm.
little past the boat level. They made a deceleration lane, and nobody goes into that because nobody developed the place. But there's a beautiful deceleration lane.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
but
let me tell you, I mean, that place is so dangerous when you're heading west and you don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bang somebody from the back. And
from the back, and they're waiting to make that turn with their trailer and their boat?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's
all these local people paying rent fees and all that, and, I mean...
Well, we'll see what we can do on this end. I'll inquire and just see why, what's the status. Why don't they move faster or something, you know?
Yeah, because they get all that rebar sticking out of all that pillars that put that, you know, the barriers and, oh, man, some mm-hmm. accident could be waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then someone's child get impaled.
Oh, man.
And you know kids. You put three kids together, they're going to start running and jumping, and you follow?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And keep us posted, and I'll update this as we go move forward with it.
Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Goodbye.
Well, anyway, that's this harbor that, if you're just joining us, this is the Kikialoa small boat harbor. Kikialoa small boat harbor in Kekaha on Kauai. Talked about the conditions, and again, that's the ultimate insult for the government to run any operation and use at your own risk. But that's kind of consistent with the standard behavior of government, believe it or not. If you go down and they want to build something, they don't have the expertise within office to do a certain thing, but we pay them to have staffs, we pay them to have engineers, but then we somehow find it necessary that the engineers on staff isn't smart enough or bright enough or honest enough, whatever, so we have to contract it out to get a commercial entity that knows what the heck they're doing. So in other words, our government is just operating in a mode of use at your own risk, but don't give much credit or invest too much trust in what the government when you walk through that door. Because you're basically, and it's true, you're using at your own risk. Some of the documents, you can't just call up and get a document and trust that document because there may be another document that they didn't file or they're withholding and won't tell you. And so you go out there half-cocked speaking on it. Basically, you are using at your own risk. And so that sign, I'll always remember that. I was astounded that you would even tolerate the presence of a sign as a state agency. Forget who put it up there. But the fact is, a state agency, that should have been cause for concern and alarm on the part of the state. But then, you know, if they're busy trying to rip you off and tax you and figure out how they're going to stay in office, I guess fixing driveways and roadways and taking hazards to the public is not there, and safe navigation for boaters. But anyway, I was talking earlier about a document that I'm in possession of that was provided by, I'm told, by the governor's liaison on Kauai. And this was later foundation. Is that supposedly Robin Danner is an entity, a person that was outspoken and spoke against Joby Masagatani's appointment. And so what this document, it serves the people by pointing out certain things, but it's missing something. It's telling us what Robin Danner did wrong or is doing wrong, the allegations are. But if they are, then they have the authority, then why don't they just take an action on it rather than let these things fester?
So I was at a point five Anahola Cafe, certified kitchen project, always empty, no activity, nothing being produced out of the kitchen. They claim here Robin Danner hired her family to run it. Negative economic impact on the community. Was not originally built according to code. And we spoke to that. But the Anahola Kumu camp, they say it's this document say it's a tremendous controversy. Then shut it down. Shut it down. You're the government. You don't need to write a document. If she's wrong, you have the at your disposal the land agent. You have the Linda Chen and those people who allow this to develop. They have knowledge. I contacted Puni Aloha Chi and asked him about certain things, and I'll be filing requests. He knew about it.
Hello.
Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Yo, what's up, Cal Cox?
Well, not much. What are you up to?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out at home, watching some football.
Well, all right. You calling up to comment about what we're talking about, or what's the deal?
Oh, when you know when your show was over last week,
right?
Somebody picked up the phone. I think I know that guy's name was John, but the voice kind of sounded like you were on the phone. I knew it was John, but it kind of sounded like your voice.
Well, I don't know who. There's a couple of people here, so I don't know. After our show, we don't pick up the phone. Maybe the technician picked it up or something.
But anyway, I'm
on another subject. And don't want to be discussing who picked up the phone last week and this week. So I knew it was you, but I was thinking you had something to contribute. You let me down. So next time when you call, at least be on the mark and contribute something, all right?
Hey, Carol.
Yo.
You know, I was at the Melani game last night. We were playing Lelehua.
Mm-hmm.
We played against Lelehua, and this was the, I think this was, the, I want to say it was the semifinals of the OIA playoffs. I think it was
Okay, get to your point. You know, you're wearing niceness to thin now. So, what's the point?
Oh no, I was at the Milani game, and there were some great players who made a touch. There was like some good players who made a couple of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
okay, Jay. Hey, I'm gonna have to let you go. Okay, because
okay.
All right, but call up and participate in the show. I mean, it's only going to take you 5 minutes. But
what do you mean, like
whatever that we're talking about? I'd like to engage you on that because you have some great ideas. But
I know.
Yeah, so you know, so okay.
When do you want me to call you?
All right. Well,
next week or something.
But whatever it is, let it pertain to what we're discussing, because some of my listeners are just—they're just going nuts at the way you call up and then just start to interfere with the flow. And I don't know what the flow is, but you get the drift, right?
Sir, I don't know what you're talking about, though.
Okay, well then we'll get together and talk about it later. All right.
Okay, I'll call you next week.
All right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. All righty. Anyway, let me go back to open this up. All righty. So the Anahola Kumu camp, they say it's an eyesore. This is the governor's liaison now writing this. So if it's an eyesore and you work for the governor, and what was your purpose of getting this document together? Tell the governor, and the governor then goes get the land agents, and then you fire Linda Chen for authorizing this, and you fire Puni Chi Aloha Chi, and you fire Daryl Young and all the others. You don't just sit down and compile a document to impugn or to cut the souls of Robin Danner and destroy her, because you still have an obligation to the people, to the beneficiaries. So, again, I'm going to reach out for Robin on this document and hopefully bring some resolution. If these things are true, then maybe Robin would be motivated to change the plans. But I went to the Kumu camp, and I'm a little taken aback that they would allow. And the reason I went there was some of the beneficiaries contacted me and shared with me that they are not being received well at this camp, and only outsiders are being allowed or primarily rented to. And we'll post some pictures up of the interior of the place, and I'm concerned with issues such as the wastewater, the toiletry, the showers. Where does that go? Right onto the ground, and some of it. Now they do have a septic, a large septic system for the bathrooms, but there are other places. And I'm told they're holding weddings or have a pavilion there. So when you see this kind of behavior, and this document is, I don't know what the real purpose of it is. Is to maim Danner? And if Danner is wrong, then let's, by golly, get to her and ask the question, who let the dogs out or whatever? But you can't just write publicly a document, then distribute it amongst people, and it's become half-assed. You have to go all the way, Mr. Governor. So the there's a U-turn for Christ drug addict rehabilitation program through religion. Program is not benefiting Anahola, it says. There's a very high walk-off rate from the drug rehabilitation program. Drug problems, vandalism, theft, and robbery have escalated once this program moved into the Anahola community. Homeless issues have risen in Anahola as these fugitive addicts monopolize the beach area. It not only has negatively impacted the community, Anahola is not the safe community. So I'm trying to see the logic in this document. I know if it was intended to set the record straight and free, if in fact, as the allegations are, that Robin Danner's family get the benefit and the others don't, then there should be a follow-up. There should be an immediate act on the part of the governor and his staff and DHHL. But that didn't happen. See, they point the problem out to create a problem as the crab in the bucket syndrome, and then in turn stand back. So they destroy Robin. They don't give solution to the problem because they have authority to send in people and withdraw or retract or rescind permit issuance. So they don't have to kiss Robin's feet or even go to this extent. So the homeless issues have risen in Anahola as these fugitive addicts monopolize the beach park area. So why would you don't increase the staff, you don't increase police force, you don't increase anything, but you write about it. And then you give it to the community, but you're the governor. What's with that? So we're here to help you, but we'll define to what it is that we help you with. We'll help you as long as we can use your cause or your plight to elevate ourselves and keep ourselves in office. We'll do that. So anyway, the Kahale Pono Inc. Senator Inouye started program. Robin Danner commandeered the project. These are the statements now. These are not my statements. This is this document. Creating much dissension. The Robin Danner inappropriate takeover has now initiated a legal lawsuit against Kauai Community College by Kahale Pono Inc., who held the program previously. KCC turned over the program to Robin Danner. KCC Chancellor acknowledges that had she known of the dissension between Robin Danner and DHHL Anahola Community, she would have never turned it over. Well, then, darn it, take it back. If it's that bad, take it back. Don't resort to just writing it down so you can maim her. But this is the Neil Abercrombie, the governor that sits in place, and you never hear him talk about anything of importance. But his people out there whacking and cutting and looking to cut you down and destroy you, because if you speak out against him, you don't do that to Neil. I'm just trying to share with you folk who the real deal Neil is. And he's going to be your governor next time, too, you know. Leave it up to him, or leave it up to you. All the DHHL lands given towards these projects were approved by Alapaki Nahalia, a very good friend of Robin Danner. This document is claiming this now. Another quasi-corporation has been set up for the West Side DHHL communities, Hanapepe and Kekaha, by Robin Danner. It is called WHDC, or West Side Homesteaders Development Corporation, or something like that. Now, we're moving forward here. The Grover Pacific Concrete, unbeknown to the Anahola community, was this concrete site in Anahola. A question arises as to whether or not proper health or clearances was issued or obtained, being that the building and operation site was so close to the water tank and the stream. Contact the DOH to follow up. County is checking permits. Gerald Takamura, DOH Environmental Health Division, reports, and DOH responds indoor and blah, blah. Well, that's okay. Josh Glover, they situated a batch plant, a concrete batch plant, right next to the area, and of a water tank there. The question I had is, where were they getting the water from to use? But I don't know. Clean Air Branch just called and indicated, this is the notes, indicated that they did issue a permit to Josh Glover for a concrete batch plant to be relocated to Anahola. Well, you know, while they're talking about Robin Danner, this is the governor's appointee is Gary Gill, who heads this Department of Health, Environmental Branch. So just to show you how ridiculous this process is, and the Abercrombie administration is, on one hand, his liaison is out digging and scratching to maim and destroy Robin Danner, or to impugn her integrity, or whatever it is, or challenge her. I don't know. I'm not taking sides. But on the other hand, the governor's appointed director, under his watch, is authorizing a cement construction company, to put a batch plant to process concrete, a cement, right next to a drinking water reservoir. So, you know, back to that, you know, as they say, the demeaning remarks is, well, you know, the Hawaiians, they're always like crabs in a bucket, and they're fighting one another. But who's the puppet master? Who put the bucket there? Who put the crabs in the bucket? That's who we need to start focusing on. This is nonsense. The entire Department of Hawaiian Homelands, I know that Native Hawaiians say they're not Native Americans, but what I can say to you, Native Hawaiians, is that others think, who has your fate in their hands, believe that while you're not Native Americans, the same sleazy tactics that they'd use to rip off the Native Americans works well with you, too. So it's up to you to grasp hold and sort through the, is it important to define whether you're Native American or not, and then to go really at the juggler as to those people that are really inflicting the injury on you and further complicating your lives. And as you see people die in line waiting for leases, or waiting to lease a property, or waiting to start a business or obtain a permit to start a business as a Native Hawaiian. And the reason you can't talk like that, you know, it's what it is. It's a more sophisticated way of, if I were to say that this person, I believe, has treated me in a way that it's racist and he's a bigot. Oh, you can't talk like that. So what they tell you is that we don't want to go there. You shouldn't raise the Hawaiian issue, because you see here in Hawaii, we're pono. We don't have discrimination here in Hawaii. you know, well, call it what you may, you're still getting screwed. And if it's semantics that is the order of the day, that's okay. But the reality is there is a state agency has a responsibility of enforcing and regulating and the welfare of the native people to carry out the wishes of the act. And then there's the Department of the Interior, who has turned its back because you had Danny Noy, who's up there in the chairman of the Native American Affairs, and whatever the term is, I don't have it in front of me. But all of that, what did he do? We know that for 42nd, we know that he was a hero, and we can't take that away, and I respect him. I served in the military, and I think anybody that is a hero is a hero. But then let's also place in his lap some of the inadequacies. For example, native fisheries. There's money that's been channeled into the native fisheries program for years, and it's been squandered through Westpac. Native people benefit very little. And in fact, what they do is they spend it in over getting opinions from lawyers and a battery of lawyers and money. But there's the little guy. So this is the real problem. This document is quite revealing from my ilk, from where I come from. It shines a light internally of the willingness on the part of Neil Abercrombie. He's so petty that if you object to anything he do publicly, then he'll come and get you in a surreptitious and a overt way, in a fashion that it looks okay. It's just a talk of the day. So here, back to this document, HCDC must have someone working on the inside advising on which lease lessee defaults on their property. She consistently, quotes, finds out who and uses DHHL regulations to remove them from the property, with HCDC thereafter applying for the lease or buy out the existing lease on the property through DHHL. It is too consistent and yet legal. I fought it on the land managers for not enforcing policy and displacing Hawaiians. Kahele Pono was a great example of her, takeover, anonymous Anahola residents, So if the governor's liaison know this is all going on, there should be an immediate act to quash all of this behavior, revoke and rescind any permits issued to Robin Danner or anything she's affiliated with, if in fact these are true. And I hope that she's receptive to willing to talk about this at length or to any degree. Kumu Camp, nice project. However, someone needs to check if the project was built with CZM requirements, coastal zone management requirements, in mind. Well, again, you don't have to speculate. You work for the governor. The governor has DLNR, the coastal zone management people, at his disposal, under his administration. Send them out. Or better yet, set a policy that before Linda Chen approves anything, all of these agencies are consulted. Would put a lot of this to rest. They are way too close to the water's edge. Where's the toilets? Where's the waste going to? What happened to the Iwi Kupuna? Oh, really? So imagine, this document is quite revealing if it's factual and if it's generated by the governor's liaison. You would think the governor would immediately react if he had the best interests of the native people and their culture. He instantly wouldn't even have to say anything, because he would have had a program that has integrity, has a program that is honest, has a program that is looking out for the beneficiaries and the welfare and the well-being. But guess what? You can't do that if you're trying to rip them off. You can't do that if you're trying to sell and make money to road and highway builders and construction. You can't do that if you're trying to help them make their millions. can't do that, Neil. So here's another quote. Mayor and Robin Dana got into it at Kumu Camp. Cantalos do not meet county standards, but since it is DHHL lands, the county will not touch and will leave these buildings issues to DHHL to enforce. Where is the enforcement on DHHL? Well, Linda Chen approved it. The Tantalos sit on a concrete pads with decks built on the top of them. The issue is that the concrete pads are not bolted down and the decks are not built to hurricane standards. See, this is when you get dumb government behavior. Okay, so you say it didn't meet coastal zone management plan, you think, and it's this eyesore and it's too close to the water. But then you come back and say, well, you know, the concrete pad which it sits on is not bolted down in case a hurricane comes on. You know, see this double stupid talk? This is the people that are managing the concerns and the well-being of the native people. So the setback was also an issue. There are different rules for tents or yurts, but according to OCCL, they are not required to comply with zoning rules. The foundation or the base of the Tantalos is the main issue and needs to be addressed. Well, if that's true, then this liaison wasted her time. So if looking at the content of this document, it's consistent with what I described earlier. This is the real deal of maiming you and just putting a poison document out there to destroy one's integrity. I have my own questions about Robin Danner's activities and how does one acquire all of these things while others stand in line. I still have those questions. But when the governor has these powers at his disposal in an instant, take an action. Don't pause in the well with these types of documents. Act on them. So Mayor and Robin got into a shouting match when Mayor advised her that there are other issues that need to be addressed other than the Tantalos. Robin became agitated and advised him that, quote, he should not have to be concerned as it is not his issue, end quote. The mayor responded, quote, when the residents call his office with an issue, it is his concern. It becomes a great concern when lives are affected and that anything that happens on Kauai is his concern as the mayor, end quote. She got upset and shouting match ensued. This document is reporting this. I'm sharing this with you. I maybe a bit too much detail and I lose you, but I want it on the record in public to show you what Neil Abercrombie, while the, quote, crabs in the bucket are fighting, Neil's friends, road and highway builders. And in fact, I don't know how factual this is, and I don't like to speak, but I'm getting calls and people saying there's a relative of Neil's in the road and highway builders echelon. I don't know. I'm only reporting what I'm getting told by various people that were, if it's not true, then shame on them for spitting it out. But I'm trying to sort through that too. But the bigger concern is that Neil's donors and big friends and all of these people, that the big pocket people, they don't have to argue and jerk one another around and struggle with it. They can operate in violation of the law, contravention of the law, and still nothing happen. They just get covered up. But with someone like Robin Danner, who object to the appointment of Masagatani, oh, he'll go at her. He'll write a book about her. And then here we go. Anahola meeting on Friday was way out of control. DHHL did not have any moderator and clearly did not have a handle on the meeting. DHHL sends Norman Sakamoto, Julie Cachola, and Linda Chen to explain to the residents their take, but who clearly did not have an understanding on the escalating residential situation that is used to be, that it used to be, is not writing problem. Participants have been known to traumatize the residences. U-Turn for Christ has two sites on DHHL lands. Turn for Christ would like to expand the upper site. The upper site is empty and houses empty buildings. U-Turn for Christ lower site, and DHHL needs to check the lease contract if it includes habitation. Lower site showed people living in makeshift housing. How can Linda Chen, this is a document saying, how can Linda Chen explain to us that she will investigate the Joss Glover Pacific site when she was the commercial agent charged with this project? They did not do an environmental assessment on this project or any community outreach on this commercial lease. Now, you see, on one hand, with Robin, they were going to rip her flesh. But Joss Glover is a big company here. And so, again, consistent with what I said earlier, if you got big pockets, you got big influence. And you got a big, broad berth where nobody screw with you. You get protected. And so, they did not do an environmental assessment on this project or any community outreach on this commercial lease. Did she think, Linda Chen, she could slip this one by the community on a whole residence? Are not stupid, she says. Anaholo is comprised of 15 associations. The AHA is a 507NP nonprofit, I guess. HCDC is a 501c3. This is this document. How can Robin Denner, through AHHA, portray themselves as association of all of the residents? So anyway, that's what's plaguing the community. When I say the community, as a whole, the island of Hawaii, Kauai, Maui, Oahu, Molokai, what is happening, it's the same administration, and they're busy trying to serve themselves. The Interior Department should long time ago been held accountable. We talk about the native son as the president, Barack Hussein Obama. Then what Barack Obama, the president, our president, is my president too. I think that if he really, really want to do what's right, convene a complete, unrestrained, independent investigators, independent, not through the Interior Department, because they are useless, and convene an independent committee to once and for all put this big lie that we give the Native people money, we set it aside, there's an act of Congress, and then find out how is it that the state could have squandered the millions of dollars and millions of dollars. And I'm not, let's understand something. I'm not speaking of fighting the battle for the Native people. Some of you may think, well, who am I to take on? No, I'm speaking as an American, as a taxpayer, a person who cares. So I was at the meeting in Kona at the commission meeting, the Hawaiian Homelands Commission meeting, and one of the dummies there amongst the commissions asked me, well, are you a beneficiary? You know, it's like, well, wait, let's back up here. No, I'm not a beneficiary as you by definition, but I benefit from an honest government because I'm a taxpayer, because I served in the military. I believe in everything America stands for that's good. So you can't divest me in your stupid ways of defining who can speak on behalf of the Native people. I'm speaking on my behalf. It brings me sanity. It says to me that don't sit and watch it decay. I have that right as an American citizen. So if any of you get confused is that I'm a bleeding heart, you know, trying to adopt, become the savior. No, that is part of it, but primarily just as an honest American, a citizen, who believes that we should do right by all people. And we can do that not by gunpoint, but by just simply being fair, by doing what's right. That's all it is. So, you know, in the future, if any of you commissioners are listening in on this show, just understand, you're not going to get an audience with me and explain to you why I'm participating in this. It's the right thing to do, period. Period. If you rip people off, you rip their country off, and you've defrauded them, that's not what America stands for. That's not the America that I'm told about. That's not the America I believe in. I believe, and maybe I'm drugged or something and just speaking stupid, but I believe the America that I believe in is a good America. So we should do right by those that we've done wrong. Period. I'm a testimony to that. I mean, where's my 40 acres and a mule? I ain't got them. I'm not pissed off about it. But don't go to the extent in telling me that I can't speak on behalf of people. I'm just trying to fulfill my own spiritual needs and speaking up and not becoming apathetic and not let something decay. So that's what it's about, Mr. and Mrs. Commissioner. If you ever find yourself needing to know why I'm involved in this, and decide, isn't it just right to do the right thing? So this Department of Hawaiian Homeland's issue, I know we've seen it in the paper and I've talked about it, but I don't believe we've yet to grasp the real impact and the sad state of affairs, how sad it is. You know, we got soldiers in Afghanistan. We got soldiers in Iraq. We're just scratching at the door. Probably got soldiers in Syria right now or wherever. We at gunpoint, we're saying at the tip of our gun is not the sights anymore. It's the righteousness that we're trying to instill upon the rest of the world. And yet, right here where we launch our submarines and our jet fighters and all the troops and the carriers and everything, right here is one of the most shameful practices that we, and when people ask us, well, what about Hawaii? You're screwing them and you're going to come and save us? I don't know. I mean, you can take that the way you want to and put me on the no-fly list, but the reality is, as an American, the one that I train and sit in the foxhole and says, we're going to do this because it's freedom and righteousness, and we're going to do it, and every man has his right to believe in what he believes, and their civil rights. And yet the native people right here are being robbed at pinpoint, not gunpoint, pinpoint. Because, you know, God only knows what they would do if the Hawaiians take civil action or rebel. You know, then we really see what the American intent is. They're not going to get their land back. They never intend to. This DHHL is just a barricade to rip them off. Give it back to the people. Why is it that the governor gets to appoint the chairman of the Hawaiian Homelands, who sit there and holds her hand and say, ah, Mr. Commissioner, you can't speak right now. We got to move on. And in fact, I see Carol Cox in the audience, and I see George in the audience, and they're here to speak about things that's going to make us look bad. So we're going to move them back to the end and bring some nonsense, BSer to stand up. And, oh, thank you, Madam Chairman, for being so nice. Beautiful lady you have on. Oh, I just love it. You know, and how's the governor, you know? In the meantime, the real issues that were on the agenda are moved back. And then, when all is said and done, well, who do we ask about this? Well, ask Daryl. Daryl, can you come up to this front? And Linda, can you come up to the front? Can you explain to us what's going on? So, in other words, you send the native people to the butcher shop. They get whacked up, cut up, destroyed, maimed. And then, in turn, when they make their presentation to the commission, the commission then defers back to the very people that have defrauded and harmed the native people in the beginning. If you think I'm just creating this, this is the DHHL is the biggest lie that has ever, ever, and it's the most current lie that is going on. It puts the Bureau of Indian Affairs to shame. They can't hold a candle to the DHHL, trust me, because they can pull a string and have everybody march in. And I concur with the governor. The governor is this, and you have the senators, Malama Solomon, Clayton Hee, Brigwood Galatera, spitting in the same sputum out. But they look good. They're good people. They're popular. But the reality is there are people, native people, dying in line, waiting to get a lease. And I've talked about this over and over and over again, but it's something dear to me because while I'm not Hawaiian, I am an American, and I believe in America, and I think we should do what's right, period. Those of you that take the Bible and say you're motivated biblically, then you should do that and act on that and demand on behalf of the native people that we do what's right as Americans because, quote, God said it's the right thing to do. Where is that voice? So, anyway, there's a lot and lots and lots, and I was going to share with you the boiled water supply. Probably next week there's bigger issues that are the unions now are stepping in and reviewing this at the Board of Water Supply because, you know, today there's an article in the paper. I've already explained to you about that. They're talking about there's something about the number of recalculated or calculated bills are decreasing. Remember what I told you. I have a taped conversation of the Board of Water Supply top officials with its staff. Where the staff is and the field workers are telling the top officials, listen, when we go to the fields and make a recording and read the meters, we come back and put it in the computer does not accept the numbers because the computer is inaccurate. We go into the fields, we get 20 to 25 complaints a day that you distribute to us. We only have 8 people, but we get 1,200 complaints a day. So they can only serve about 48,000, but they get 280,000 complaints about leaky faucets and bills that may be calculated. And they tell you today in this article, I gave you the facts. So you can read what you see there. And then you can ask yourself, numbers don't lie. And so I'm telling you that this is, the whole thing is fraudulent. But again, that's the way it is. So I noticed Kimberly Pine in her sad attempt, as always. Remember, the enemy to all of us. Remember, Kimberly Pine is a Tea Partier. Kimberly Pine is anti-gay. Kimberly Pine is one of those people that she thinks you're asleep at the wheel so she can pull the wool over your eyes. Be watchful of her. I'm telling you, let her be progressive and speak out on issues before they become a problem. She's not that kind of a person. So you folks out there on the West Side, this is what you have. She's part of the Tea Party, and I always say, Obamacare, the Republicans don't. So we'll see you next week, and we'll be back, hopefully foreclosure next week.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.